meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Hello,
welcome.
Hello everyone, this is Raad Al-Faiz.
Hello, Raad. كيف حالك رائد؟
الحمد لله بخير، كيف أخبارك أنت والأهل طيبين؟
الحمد لله بخير تمام الحمد لله.
السلام عليكم، this is Ahmed.
وعليكم السلام، هاي سرمد.
وعليكم السلام، هاي سرمد، أنا عبد المنعم.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Fine, thank you.
Fahad on the call as well?
Unfortunately, Bahar couldn't be able to join the call today.
Okay.
Could we wait for another 5 minutes for other guys?
Yeah, let's wait. Yeah, let's wait for a couple of minutes and then we can start.
Okay, that's fine.
So I guess what we could do is, hi, who just joined?
It is Abdulrahman Al-Ghadir. Hi.
Okay. Hi, Abdulrahman.
Hi.
So we'll start in 2 minutes. So this is Ahmed. It's 5 minutes past the hour, so I think we can probably start. Before we get to business, I guess let's call the roll and show who's on the call. So could we just request each of you to just very quickly say your name, one at a time, I guess.
This is Raad Al-Faiz.
This is Abdul Manan Galila from Egypt.
Is there anybody else on the call?
Abdul Rahman Al-Ghadir.
Okay. Anybody else?
I think it is the engineer Ahmed Bakht, but he just clicked in the chat.
So let's see. Let me also then quickly open the chat room. I've not logged in there. Just give me a second. Okay, so we have Ahmed Bakht on in the chat room. I'm not sure whether he can hear us. Let me check.
Hello, this is Mekong Mumin. I just connected.
Hey, Mekong. Good to have you here.
Hello, hello.
Hi, everyone. So we have Raed, Abdul Monam, and Abdul Rahman here on the call with us, and we also have Ahmed on in the chat room, and I'm just trying to find out
I can't hear you, Sarmad.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so what I was thinking was that we can start from where we left in the Morocco meeting, and basically what we'd what the group had discussed was that we would want to take the two threads forward. One was the developing or doing work on the second level LGR, and the second was the work on universal acceptance. The work on universal acceptance, from what I understood, would be done in collaboration with UASG and as per, I guess, the requirements there, while the current, I guess, more active thread or would be working on the second level LGRs. Is that correct understanding for those who were there in Morocco? Raed, Mikal, Abdul Monam.
I didn't hear you, all of it. I think it should be correct.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Sarmat.
Okay. And one of the other things which we discussed in the context of second-level LGRs is that we will draft language-based tables, and then based on the language-based tables, we will eventually merge them as we develop these language tables to derive a larger set. So that would be one of the ways we could start the work. And I guess once we proceed, we can also see what to do with languages which we are missing. So is that also correct from everybody else's understanding as well?
Yes, Sarwar, but I don't understand the first point that will be based on the tables of LGRs.
So I think what we had discussed was there were two approaches. One was the top-down approach and one was the bottom-up approach. The top-down approach, so one which was basically looking at each character at a time and saying whether it belongs to a particular language or not and deciding to include it or exclude it. Other option was to actually do one language at a time. So make a list of code points required for Arabic language and Urdu language and Persian language, and then eventually do a union of all those code points. And eventually, I think what was decided as documented in this in the minutes as well, that second level LGR will be developed based on language table model, which I, from what I understand is that we draw individual language tables and then through that derive the script table.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir, this is Raed. I believe Nabil have captured a summary in the last meeting in Morocco, and he put it in the Dropbox. So it says something like what you are explaining here.
Okay. So thank you for that, Raed.
Yeah, regarding the first point for the universal acceptance, we said that we will work with, in collaboration with the USG group, the USG group. But how we are going to, do the work? Actually, shall we wait for them, or shall we prepare something and provide it to them? Or if they put something for comments or any changes or any recommendation, shall we study it between us and then send it to them, or what exactly the group want us to work in regarding the universal acceptance for issues related to Arabic dominion?
So I think this
I think
is
we have
for
talked
us
about
to discuss
this
and finalize. So yes, please go ahead, Michal.
Sorry, I think we have talked about the Marrakesh and come to an agreement for the moment that we would point out some people who would serve as liaison to that group. And I think that logically the first step would be to just choose such people who are interested in being liaison and then approaching this group to tell them, we have these people. If you have specific requests, please channel them through them, and then we can respond as a group. I think this was kind of the way we were going in Marrakesh, wasn't it? Sorry for interrupting, Sarmat.
Raed, you want to respond to that? Is that something you think is a good first step, or you think we should do more?
I think it's good, no problem. But we need to know, let someone complete the work. Because I believe they are now working heavily on preparing documents and drafting some things for developers. And I believe we need to add something regarding, right to left Arabic requirements, something like this. So we just shouldn't delay it. We need to have, license or someone, two or three guys will, coordinate with Don or the people in the UA ST group to make sure that our needs is covered somehow in their publication and in their documents, in their proposals, something like that.
So should we then call for maybe nominations, not nominations, but I guess call for people to nominate themselves for a small group on UA, and then that group can then take on the role to, I guess, interact with USG more actively, do the necessary, not just liaisoning, but review of the work, and bring their findings back to TFAIDN for final discussion when they are ready, and then based on the final discussion, they can send stuff back to UASG. So would making a smaller group which can more actively work on that be a good way forward?
Yes, a good suggestion for me. I think it's a good suggestion.
So what we will do is two things then. First, we can call for nominations or I guess interest here on the list on the call, and then what we'll do is also email the larger group to ask if anybody who's not on the call is also interested in attending or be participating in that effort, and based on that we'll draft that, you know, we'll make the working group. And perhaps one of the things we could do is that working group, in a way, draft their mechanism on how they're going to work with TFAIDN and USG and sort of develop their own mechanism on how they're actually going to be taking this work forward and propose that to TFAIDN so that we can all finalize it. Will that work?
Dheeral, let me... You can move forward in Arabic because I'm the only one who doesn't understand Arabic. If it would be easier for you, please keep going in Arabic. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, is this Nabil?
Yes, this is Nabil. How are you, Samad?
Welcome. Good, thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have anybody else on the call as well joining?
Yeah, hello, that's me, Tariq from Sudan. Hello, Samad, hello, everyone.
Hey, Tariq, great to have you here. Is Ahmed also online now? No. So, great. So, basically, for those of you who just joined, we are now just planning our work. We have the discussion is currently on how we are going to take the UA work forward based on what was discussed in Morocco. And I think what we are suggesting currently is that we make a small UA group. Who's joined?
Ahmed Bakht has been joined. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, Ahmed. All right. So basically what we're saying is that we'll form a small group of volunteers who are interested in doing the UA work. And that group will act as a liaison, not only as liaison to the USG, but they will review the work at USG. Based on that, they will either make recommendations or suggestions for USG, but what we will, I guess, suggest is that since this is work which is being done on behalf of TFAIDN, it would be great to get everybody's input in those kind of recommendations and reviews. So from time to time, when they are ready, they can come back to TFAIDN and share the summary of their work, and based on the general agreements, they can then pass on those reviews and feedbacks to the UASG. So what we are then going to be doing is making a call for different people to volunteer themselves for this small group, working group, which will focus on UASG while we continue our work on the GRs. Is that a reasonable summary of where we are? Anybody has any comments?
I just have a question here. Will this group work with themselves, or they will be as a contact point with the ASG? I mean, will they show what we do in there, or they work there and do drug themselves? Because it will be in the contact. Very
smart. Tariq, at least on my side, you are breaking up. I can barely understand you.
Okay. My question is that those small group, will represent the task force, the IMDS in the USG, and will do the work representing the task force, or they will take what we will do in the task force and deliver it. They will be as a contact force, as a liaison between us and there, or they will do the work themselves.
Right. So basically, currently, the task force will be focused on the second level LGR, and this group will actually be looking at USG, seeing what the work they are doing at this time. Based on that, they will do the necessary reviews or work within themselves, and then based on what they finalize, they will bring that to the task force, get the feedback from task force, and then finalize and hand the work over to USG. So they are actually doing all the work for the UASG. They are not just liaisons. They are actually doing the work, coordinating with TFAIDN, and also liaisoning with the UASG.
Allow me, Sarmad. I think this is one way to do it. We can also have this small group just to monitor the progress of the UASG, and if they have circulated a document or need to have something that we should participate in, then they can send it to our task force, and then we can discuss it internally, and then do whatever changes, and they might give us some inputs or insights what to do, and then we can do it, and then they coordinate back and send it to them or send it to Don directly. I think this is another way. So you have a first option, that's your suggestion, and I think this might encourage people to come to this small group. Thank you.
I agree with you.
Right. The only challenge I see in the other option is that there is nobody who is sort of responsible for doing the work and finalizing. That's the only challenge. So management might actually become challenging if they just keep forwarding emails from USG to TFAIDN without really processing that information. Then who's actually processing the information and the work?
I think this is Mikhail. I think we should specify this basically in the call for people to volunteer for such a position. And we could say we would want, for example, people of that group, and group can be as many as two as far as I'm concerned, to actually follow the discussions on UASG, think and consider what of that work can impact on us, and prepare like high or low level summaries for the entire TFIDN group. So I think this is part of what a liaison somehow does, in the sense that they take the information, process it to a relevant level and to an understandable level, and then on the basis of that, for example, we could go within CSIRDN forum and launch another call for ad hoc working group on a specific thing. Like UASG needs information on, I don't know, left-to-right connectivity or right-to-left connectivity of some sort, and how this interacts with us. So we should prepare a summary for that. And then people can volunteer for that. So I don't think it would be useful to split up the work into different groups again, and this is kind of what we advocated a bit against in Marrakesh. So I think the person, whoever does, those persons who have volunteered to step forward should actually take responsibility and volunteer for these things. But it's not like they should actually do the work separately and just come back for confirmation or disconfirmation. I hope that somehow makes sense. Thanks.
Okay, so I think, Mikhail, what you are saying is perhaps sort of in the middle of what the two other suggestions are. So this is, I think, like a third possibility. So what I was initially suggesting was actually a working group, not a liaison position, where what we've been doing before is, if you remember, whenever we had a few tasks, we would call for volunteers for different working groups, and the working groups would go off and do their smaller tasks and then come back to TFAIDN with the processed recommendations and finalize things with TFAIDN, and then we would follow up. So I was actually thinking from that perspective. So I was suggesting a working group, not really just a liaison position. Then basically the other option is that there is somebody who's just very thinly liaisoning and just forwarding relevant material for discussion to TFAIDN. Again, that's also harder to manage. What you're suggesting is something in the middle, where you actually have a liaison position, but liaison position is somehow synthesizing work, but not quite analyzing and making recommendations. I guess that could be done as well, but then question is, how do we keep the momentum of keep doing UASG work? Because we will be starting work on LGRs, and then we will get some random inputs from UASG. Will we just keep, once we get an input from UASG, will we just react to it immediately? And, you know, how do we keep jumping from one work to the other work and back?
I understand. I think that would be the job of the liaison, or whatever to call those positions, to actually try and push for things which are relevant. The issue was we had before, why we seem to advocate as a group the liaison model as opposed to separate working groups model, is that a large share of TFADN seems to have some interest in both agenda and both topics. But if they coincide and if they have like parallel working schedules, the workload becomes too high for individuals. So
okay,
as a compromise, for people not to be forced to jump out of one or the other endeavor, this was kind of what we were discussing. I think what I suggested might be like a middle ground. But, yeah, of course, someone has to take responsibility, but it shouldn't be completely independent work where people come up with separate suggestions, because then it will lead to a split of the group formally, which I don't think
okay.
is not what is wanted. Thanks.
Okay, so then what we are saying is that we want a reasonably deeper liaison position, somebody who maybe have two or three people who can do some initial discussion and provide some, filtering and synthesizing of what's going on with USD time from time to time, whenever it's relevant to TFAIDN for discussion. But it's not a full-fledged working group which is actually doing analysis and making recommendations and doing the homework, necessary homework, before it comes to TFAIDN. So is that something which is agreeable to everybody?
Yeah, it will be better. As if we make a working group, another working group, it's more working group. Temporary or permanently? If it's temporary, how can others catch up to the future with this working group? Or if it will be permanent, I think I can't see it this way. So I think the last option you talk about, Sermon, is better. That's for me.
Okay. So you, anybody else? So we are okay with this slightly thick liaison position. That's what we're saying.
Can you hear me, Dr. Sermon?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Please go. Please go ahead, Ahmed.
I'm sorry, I was not able to connect properly, and I was connected through my phone. So I was not able to hear the initial discussion. So what I have heard and assume that we are going to have two groups, and we will have a separate liaison person for these group. And if this is the correct, my perception is correct, then I would volunteer myself for the universal acceptance liaison.
Right. So we are actually not saying we have two groups. We are saying that we are all a single group. We are forming a small liaison team for universal acceptance, which will synthesize a look. Keep a lookout on what's happening at the USG level, and wherever relevant, they will summarize and involve TFAIDN in those discussions. And when they come to TFAIDN, we may, based on amount of work, form separate working groups or do a discussion during our call and address those requests which we need to, or inputs which we need to give to USG. So we're still a single group, and plus a small liaison team, which is more focused and involved with the USG. That's what we are suggesting.
And how many people will be liaisoning in each group, let's say, for a USG or for the LGR2?
So everybody is involved in
because
both teams.
So many people.
There is only one small... there's only one small liaison group, and we can have, you know, as many people as they want to volunteer for that small liaison group. So we got your nomination. Is there anybody else who's interested in liaisoning group? We will also participate on this to on the email. So, is everybody generally agreeable with what we are saying?
This is Rahil.
Can you repeat your question, Samad?
Yes. So, my question is that we are saying that TFAIDN will take up the work on user acceptance and second level LGRs. The universal acceptance work will be triggered by what is happening with UASG per the relevant information which is synthesized and passed on to TFAIDN by the smaller UA group, liaison group which we are forming. Ryan, you wanted to comment on that? Nabil will come to you after this.
Yes, this is Raed. Yeah, I agree. Just only not to make, we don't want people to feel that the work will be only on the liaison group. No, I think it's something shared between us. What we actually need is someone to monitor the USG mailing lists, because there are, I know, 4 or 5 sub mailing lists under the UASG. So they just keep an eye, watch if they circulated document, if there is work need to be done, they if they can draft something, this is good. At least they just inform us so that we can, you know, switch from the second LGR to the universal acceptance and put something related to the Arabic, make sure that everything is compatible with our needs. So again, in summary, it's like monitoring group. If they can do more than this is good, but at least this is the minimum thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ra'i, for your explanation. Now things are more clear for me. And yes, it's a good idea to have a liaison in this group so that we can keep updated about what is going on there. And it will help us to switch from time to time to any urgent task. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so can you, there's a lot of background noise. For those who are not speaking, can you mute your phone? We are still getting some background noise. Can you please all mute your phone if you're not speaking? Thank you. All right, so I think that's decided. We will make a call if there are any interest for that UA liaison team. Does anybody else here want to volunteer for now? So we only have Ahmed so far who's volunteered for the UA liaison team. Okay. So no more volunteers at least here at this time. So let's move on. So the second business was...
excuse me?
Sorry. Yeah, please go ahead, Tariq.
If we go this option, so what will happen to the UAE subgroup? Will it be two groups working at the same time, or we will just be notified and get some materials what's happening there in UASG, but we will not work in the UASG, in the UA issue until we finish the second level? What we will do?
So I think the understanding is that based on the liaison may suggest that this is something important and we need to take care of it now. And then based on discussion within TFAIDN, we may actually take up the UA work as required while doing our other work. So we can stop one and start the other one, or split and make a small working group, or depending on the situation, we can decide at that time. We will actually address any UA work when it occurs. And that is the responsibility, I guess, of the liaison team to point to us on what we need to do and when we should do it, so that the whole group can react in that context.
I have a comment, please.
Yes, can we have Mikal and then you can come in since he was in line first?
Yes.
Mikal, would you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I was just saying, like, one way of handling this practically could be, for example, that if there are further people, like, once we put the call on the TFADN mailing list and there are further people, I'm thinking, like, 2 to 3 people would be a minimum, where people can take turns in reading the USAG, following up with the newsletter, and attending, for example, the teleconferences or whatever modes of communication they have. Then these people could coordinate, for example, with whoever is coordinating work for the whole of TFADN,
and on every working and every teleconference or every other teleconference, they could just take 5 minutes to make a summary of what has happened and what could be relevant relevant points where we could interfere or not, and then we could take quick votes on that. So that would be, for example, a way how these things could be handled. Just a suggestion, obviously. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Mikhail. So can we go on to the next comment? Was it Abdul Monam or somebody else who wanted to speak?
Hey. Yes, please. I suggest that this group will contain volunteers from both task force of IDN and UASG. So the communication between the two groups, between task force and USG, will be much better and easier. Just my suggestion.
Right. So I guess I would probably want to respond to that is that actually what we are saying is these the volunteers from the TFA IDN should actually join USG, so they are actually part of that larger group. So we don't need to make a third group, I think. That's at least what the, at least my understanding is.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a question again. Is there something which prevents us to, all of us, to be a part of the UASG? So we will get informed and how and know what new about UA at the same time working with the second level at the TFA IDN.
So I guess that obviously depends on the interest, I would say. So if there is interest in working on UA issues within TFA IDN, obviously then we should get some volunteers. If you are not getting any volunteers, then it is also, I guess, in a way suggesting that there is not enough interest in that work. So in any case, I guess, so far we are not in that situation, so hopefully we won't have to deal with that kind of situation. We already have Ahmed, you know, we will probably get a couple of other people, so hopefully we will have the group going. If there is an issue which does occur, like the scenario you are suggesting, then we will, I guess, deal with it when we get there. But so far, I think we are okay. Okay, so any last comments or questions regarding UA discussion before we move on to the LGR discussion? Okay, great. So thank you. I guess we have that now reasonably clear. And so now let's take up the second level LGR. Again, just to reiterate very briefly, what was discussed in Morocco was that we will develop LGRs for different languages. And then based on those language-based LGRs, we will derive a script-based LGR. So I guess the work we should then do is, as a starting point, start documenting different language-based LGRs. For that, I think one of the, there could be multiple ways of doing it. One way would be that each of us or whoever is interested volunteers for developing, so there are multiple stages there. You have the code point repertoire, variants, and whole level evaluation rules. So let's keep it simple, simple in the sense that let's start with the code point repertoire, not worry about variants and whole level evaluation rules right now. And we, among all of us, we volunteer for maybe one or two or three, as many languages we want to volunteer for, to provide the code point repertoire for a particular language. So would that be a reasonable way to start? Are there any suggestions on any alternate ways of doing this?
No, thank you.
So you are okay with this particular method? If that is the case, would any of you like to volunteer for particular tables, language tables, code point repertoire at this time only?
Yeah, this is Ra'ed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we can start with this one. I believe there is another way if we decided which code points can be, we put some rules or some definitions or some guidelines which can be in or out. This is a way, but I like what you suggested. Just go and, build the language table for each language. I like your suggestion, better than having theories and this stuff. Let's start. If then we find problems or collisions or something, then we can go back and define rules and define procedures. I can work for the Arabic language. I can draft something and send it.
Thank you, Raed. Let me come back to your comment and suggest something in addition. But before we do that, let's go around and see if there are any other volunteers for any other languages. So anybody else want to volunteer for any other language? And we're just doing code points at this time.
This is Mecca. Well, there's a bunch of African languages which have more or less defined repertoires and more or less defined inventories. If someone could come up with a suggestion of like more high profile or less high profile languages, then I could start producing, for example, one table, and then we can see on the basis of that if that works. I think it would be good to have a model like we are now considering a language table. So we should specify the very principle, the very basic requirements on what a language table is, define that in some very basic context, and then we can still work up more complicated procedures on the basis of that if we find we need to add or remove some information. Thank you.
So I guess then I will come back to that comment which I wanted to make in response to Ryan, because you're also pointing to, I guess, a similar kind of issue. One possibility, so I guess all of you are saying, and correctly so, is that before we go out and go off and start making language tables, we should really have a reasonably commonly clear understanding of what should be in a language table. And we want to do this consistently so that analysis being done on one language is not very different from analysis being done on the other language. At least a starting point would be that if you all know, ICANN has started developing some reference language-based tables. Before that work started, what ICANN did was actually develop a set of guidelines to develop the language tables. And so those guidelines are actually saying or trying to explain very similar kind of things which we are questioning. So would it be a good starting point that we say that we can go and use those guidelines as a potential starting point for language-based analysis? Then there are two ways of doing it. First, that in our next call, we review and understand the guidelines and discuss the guidelines and finalize how we want to do it, either based on the guidelines or a slight variation of those guidelines. That's one way. Or the other way is that everybody goes and reads the guidelines, understands them, and then does a language table and brings a language table back based on those guidelines. And then we can have that discussion more concretely and then review the tables as per those guidelines. Which way would you want to start? Do you want to finalize the guidelines first, or review the guidelines, do the table, and then come back and finalize the process?
Sarma, this is Rahid. I like the point that you raised, and also Mikhail's point. I agree with it. It's good to have some methodology and something. But actually, I think going immediately in the work, try to build something and learn from it, then we can, you know, just, you know, have a sense or you know test ourselves and see if we can, then let's like doing reverse engineering. So it will be good practice to just give it a try to come with a sample tables for languages, and then we can then from that go back and then draw the methodology that it will be more clear for methodology. This is my opinion. If you agree on this, we have done a study for five languages: Arabic, Urdu, Farsi, Jawi, Pashto. These are, we depended more on available resources on the internet, some of them based on the registries that operating. Like for Farsi, we depend on Iran. For Urdu, we depend on the Bantan project, that the work that have you know, listing the languages for Pakistan country, languages in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a simple draft. I can send it, circulate it. Each language, each expert can send it to language community, see if this is okay. Maybe we have missed something. We have done it in a way, it's depending on, like, we visited keyboard implementation, we visited online content, we visited language experts published papers on the internet, we study all of them, and then we came up with this five languages. It's easy to add more if we just someone point to us, you know, keyboards or language expert papers or something, or even online content, then we can easily reverse engineering and list the language, and then we can discuss it with the language community, if there is a language community. If there is no language community, we can depend on some expert from the field. I think this is a good start. And then if we are stuck or have problems, we can stop the work, go back to the methodology and build it more, make it like a little bit, and we have some knowledge now what to have in the methodology and what shouldn't we have. This is just a recommendation, if you all agree.
More comments?
Can I add something?
Yes,
Ahmed. Actually, what we have learned that Arabic language is the base of all these languages, and we have only one volunteer who is willing to work with the Arabic language. So let's start with the Arabic language, and then we will add additional characters into that. Is it possible?
So this is slightly different from what we were suggesting earlier, because I think what Rayed was initially discussing, and eventually I think what all of us agreed with, was that we do a language-based analysis separately. And I think one of the motivations behind that was that if a registry wants to support three languages out of 5 or 10 or 50 languages, they, you know, we have separate language tables for each one, so they can go and just take the three language tables and make their own smaller subset of the active table.
Actually, I am recommending to go step by step. We will work on the all possible languages, but we can go step by step so that we can concentrate on our work, and we can have more volunteers to work on.
Right. So I guess my response to that would be that we should probably have one or two or three Arabic language experts to work on Arabic language. And then, you know, eventually in parallel, for example, I can look at Urdu, which I obviously speak as my first language, and I can have help from others who've done work, like Rayed and his team's already done some homework on it, If anybody else wants to volunteer for Urdu, you know, we can make a small team and do a language table for Urdu and so on. So we can build these repositories or language tables in parallel. And the reason is that if we have an Arabic experts of Arabic language, they can make better decision perhaps than all of TFIDN trying to look at Arabic language, because not everybody in TFIDN may have expertise for Arabic language. So they can in the meantime work on other languages where they do actually have their expertise in.
Okay, if this is the case, I can assist you in Urdu and even in Punjabi, and we have also with our group for the Pashto, and we can also work for Sindhi. So Pakistani languages we can handle, but I'm not sure about other languages, like we have Persian. So we have to look for the expert in Persian, and then Mikal may look for the African languages. And
right. So I think what we're doing, so Ahmed, what you're saying is that you can do Urdu, Pashto, and Sindhi. Is that, and Punjabi perhaps?
I'm saying that Inam can take care of Pashto and maybe Sindhi, and I can assist him. And I can assist you in Urdu and work for Punjabi.
Okay. So we'll reach out to Inam for help as well for Pashto. And but we can advertise this on TFAIDN as well. So we can probably get more people for Pashto as well and so on for other languages as well. So I have you as somebody who can assist with Urdu, Pashto, Sindhi, Punjabi, for example. Anybody else?
Hi. I can assist in the Arabic language.
Yeah, hello.
Okay,
so that's me, Tariq. I also assist Raed in Arabic language, and with Michael we can do African language. We have to communicate together to decide which African language we can start with. Especially we have here University of Africa, there is a lot of community. We can get people from those communities speaking this language really, and we can, with Michael, we decide which language we can start from in African language.
So then, okay, so I have Tariq to assist with African languages, languages to be decided, and work with Raed. I'm sorry, I didn't get the name of the person. Was it Abdul Rahman or somebody else who said Arabic language?
Yeah, Abdul
Rahman. Okay. Okay. So we have Raed, Tariq, and Abdul Rahman for Arabic language so far. I am putting myself in for Urdu at least with Ahmed. Also maybe for Sindhi. Let's see. Anybody else who wants to add to this list? Okay, so basically then we are saying that we are going to do the first cut language tables, then based on our learning we'll develop what should be the guidelines. Mikal, to your question, basically what we are saying is that you can, as a reference at this time, look at the guidelines which have been produced and published. But that's not something we are going to formally discuss here at this time. We are actually going to go and do an exercise And then based on that, come back and see how we want to document our experience and develop, whatever guidelines we want to develop for this purpose. Are there any comments? We are on the hour, so we should close the call soon. Any final comments on this?
Is there a deadline? Yeah.
Sorry.
For giving the first draft for the each language table, and what will be the format? Is it Word? Is it text? Is it code points? Just listing code points, or shall we circulate an Excel? Everyone fill to it, or what do you think?
Right. So I was actually going to suggest something on email, based on so we could just do a simple list of code points. I would at this time. So keep it very simple. And it could be an Excel sheet, it could be a Word document, something like that. Excel is nice because then it's easier to count. But I think we can do that over email. It would be something very simple at this time. As a first step, what we need to do is we need to get these groups going. So I will circulate a summary of this, ask for people to volunteer both for the UASG liaison group as well as the plenty of different groups, and relate that information. And what I do is I can actually circulate some timelines, just some timelines to do sort of a first draft, hopefully before our next call, so that we can bring that experience and have some concrete discussion in our next call. I am assuming we are going to be having a call every 2 weeks. Is that a reasonable expectation for all of you? Is that reasonable for you to attend?
Could you say that again when we're expecting to have a call? I didn't hear you.
Every 2 weeks.
Thanks.
So what we'll do is we'll try to get maybe a first draft in for these language tables.
For me, I will not be available after 2 weeks, but I think Abdulrahman can cover if you need anything from me.
Sure. So in any case, I think, we'll have these calls regularly every 2 weeks. So please, I'm not sure whether Fahad sent a recurring invitation. If not, I'll request him to send a recurring invitation so that we have the time locked in for next few months. And then we'll follow up on email then. Any other last comments? None? So great. Thank you all for joining us. And great. Let's get the work going. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmad.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sarmad, shall we have a minute of meeting? Is possible?